Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Welcome back, and our guest in this half of the show is Dr. Kate Rayanne Blue. She is the author, she's an author and a naturopathic physician, and today we're talking, she's written a number of books, including Vitamin K2 and the Calcium Paradox, and a number of other books, which I don't have in front of me right now, but I'm sure, Dr. Kate, you can tell us. First of all, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave. Good to be back.
Yeah. So today we're talking about memory optimizers and brain fog. What kind of got you interested in that topic?
Well, I think that the brain, of course, is critical, right? I mean, it's all about how our brain works. And we've all experienced times in which our brain maybe doesn't work as well as it could or should. Mm-hmm. And that can be very problematic. It can interfere with your concentration, with your focus. And brain fog, in particular, is a symptom that people report fairly often. Some people complain about this occasionally. Some people seem to have it on a more or less ongoing basis. And it can be kind of mysterious, you know, what's causing this? What does it mean? What can we do about it? That's just sort of one aspect of how our brain can not work as well as we would like it to. And it really sort of caught my attention because, like everybody else, I have had periods or episodes of brain fog, and I wondered what it was about.
So are there certain times in our life where we're more susceptible to having brain fog, just memory issues?
Definitely. Well, you know, I think one example that everybody can relate to is when you get sick. Let's say if you get a cold or flu, typically a virus, but it could be a bacteria as well. Pretty much everybody's had the experience of feeling foggy-headed. That is a symptom that we associate with that kind of an infection. And it happens because the body is responding to the infection, and in doing so, the body produces a number of inflammatory mediators, so compounds that promote inflammation. Now, the point of those compounds is to help healing and help fight the infection, but the downside and the side effect of those can be this foggy feeling. The interesting thing is that you can end up with this foggy feeling. You can have those same compounds being produced even when you don't have an infection. So you don't have a virus, you don't have a cold or flu, but there's something else that's causing your body to respond in a similar way. Stress can do this. Eating certain types of foods that we may be sensitive to or allergic to on some level. So, you know, typical culprits here include wheat and dairy, but almost any food for some individuals can provoke this kind of reaction. And because we may be under stress every day or we may be eating these foods every day, we may be experiencing brain fog or lack of focus and concentration or memory troubles on an ongoing basis and not really realize where that's coming from. And ultimately, it stems back to this inflammatory reaction that affects the way we think and feel.
Mm. And, you know, when we get this inflammatory reaction, what do we need to do to kind of treat it? Like, what do we need to do from a medical point of view?
Well, first of all, being aware of it is important, that inflammation is a factor. You know, when we think of inflammation and the brain, the word that comes to mind is encephalitis, and that can be a very serious health condition that can literally, you know, land you in the emergency room in critical care and critical condition. But we're not talking about that kind of encephalitis, or not that kind of inflammation. This is a much lower grade inflammation, and there's mounting evidence that shows that inflammation and these inflammatory compounds that the body is producing either anywhere in the body can affect the brain, or being produced in the brain itself is a factor in mood, for example, depression, very, very common, and that can be important, as well as the development of dementia. A lot of these inflammatory compounds particularly seem to negatively impact the hippocampus. Now, that's the part of our brain that is focused on memory. So this can really impact our memory, our ability to focus and concentrate, and over the long term, lead to and be connected to conditions like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. So being aware of this is important, and there are a number of steps we can take to combat it, to prevent and reverse and make sure it doesn't affect us.
And what are those steps?
Well, one of the most important things is diet. As I was saying before, things that we eat can affect this inflammation reaction. So if you're always eating something that you're sensitive to and you may not realize it on a very low-grade level, you're promoting this inflammation. So I often recommend what's called an elimination diet or a low allergenic diet. It's typically a diet that removes wheat, dairy, soy, and the most common, you know, sugar, the most common offenders and things that will promote inflammation. So getting those out of the diet, even for as little as a month, can make a difference in how you think and feel and how your brain works, and that will help you identify what you're really sensitive to. So that's step one. Step two is lifestyle factors. So stress is really so important here, and I think we underestimate the effects of stress. And if stress is chronic and ongoing, then it can promote this inflammation. So being aware of in dealing with that. And then looking at specific nutrients and herbs that will help combat inflammation. So if we're lacking certain nutrients in our diet, it can affect our brain health and our cognitive function and this inflammatory reaction. And there are certain herbs, curcumin in particular, has gained a lot of notoriety, and there's a lot of research because it is such an excellent natural anti-inflammatory.
So what is curcumin?
Curcumin is the active ingredient from the herb turmeric. Turmeric is a member of the ginger family. It looks just like ginger, but it's bright orange inside. And one component of this whole herb turmeric, you can extract this, is called curcumin, and that has medicinal properties. In particular, it's a fabulous natural anti-inflammatory. It has a unique action when it comes to being an anti-inflammatory. It seems to affect inflammation on a number of levels, making it helpful on quite a widespread basis. Curcumin is an excellent antioxidant. Fighting free radical damage is very important for general health, but as well the health of the brain. It has been shown to help prevent the accumulation of plaques and tangles. These are these unhealthy protein deposits that we can see in the brain associated with dementia. Curcumin has a number of brain beneficial actions, in addition to the fact that just being a great anti-inflammatory makes it helpful for our brain.
And Dr. Kate, you know, what is the research, you know, the scientific research on curcumin? Because I guess, you know, one of the things that natural medicine gets blasted for is the fact that, you know, they sometimes people or doctors say there's no science, you know, it's not science-based, but turmeric has quite a bit of science behind it, doesn't it?
It does. You know, the fact, the concept or the notion that, and I'm glad you brought this up, Dave, because it's certainly a pet peeve of mine. I'm going to try not to start ranting, but the concept of natural medicine and botanical medicine not being evidence-based is, in fact, a myth or a misconception. Uh-huh. And, in fact, there are, well, certainly Health Canada, for example, requires a certain standard of evidence behind any product that gets an NPN number and anything that makes it to the shelf of your local health food store, just for starters. Mm-hmm. Curcumin in particular has been the focus of a lot of research, both laboratory research as well as clinical research, so research looking at actually giving curcumin to people and seeing the health results that you get from that. And there is an enormous amount, there have been, you know, thousands of studies that have come out in the last decade and more each year now, showing that curcumin is a great anti-inflammatory, how it works, you know, the mechanisms, as well as showing the relief that people get from certain conditions. So, you know, today we're talking about brain health benefits and even mood and the connection between inflammation and brain function and mood. Two clinical trials in the last 2 years have shown that curcumin works as a great antidepressant. The mechanism isn't well known, but given this connection between inflammation and mood, that could very well be it. A number of other studies, for example, with pain, curcumin is best known but as an anti-inflammatory for its pain-relieving action. Studies have shown that people with arthritis who are taking curcumin will, over time, reach for less over-the-counter or prescription pain medication than most people who are taking a placebo, for example. So that's another type of a clinical work being done. There is a lot of research behind curcumin in particular when it comes to botanical medicines. It's highly evidence-based.
We're talking with Dr. Kate Rayan-Blue. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be finding out more about evidence-based alternative medicine that will really help you.